Hey, thanks for joining us on the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. If you'd like more information on C3 Church, please visit myc3church.net. We hope you enjoy this message.
Thriving, that's the series we're on. We're talking about connection. And last week, my wife spoke, did a phenomenal job, and spoke about being connected to Christ and our connection to God. And thriving only occurs in connection. You can't thrive in isolation. You're not meant to. You're not created to. We're only thriving in our connections. Firstly, in our connections to Christ. John 15, when he's walking with his disciples, he's on the way to his crucifixion. He knows what's happening for him. He's about to be betrayed. And so he is downloading into his disciples. He's shown them how to live and to love and to care for people and to bring the kingdom to earth. But now he's reminding them how they're going to do it, because he's going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. He will send the Holy Spirit to help them, but they need to live in a certain way that will outwork the kingdom of heaven on the earth. And he says this crucial thing to them. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. The branch can't bear fruit by itself, but only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. People who remain in me and I in them are the ones who bear plenty of fruit. For without me, you see, you can't do anything. You can't do anything in isolation. You know, a light, we're called to be salt and light to the world. And the thing about a light is it brightens up darkness. And in fact, the darker a situation looks, the darker a room looks, the brighter a light will shine. I don't know if you've ever been to like the mountains when you look up at the stars and there's just no lights around, and how much brighter those stars shine. In darkness, light shines. But also on that, a light, when you look at it, is also evidence of a power source. And so the reason we shine as a light, because we point back to a power, back to something that is greater than us, and we become evidence of the existence of Christ, of God, his love and his care and his providence, his purpose for our life. A light is an evidence to a power source. But if we disconnect that power source, the light is useless. It is only in connection that we thrive. It is only in a dynamic, relevant, alive relationship with Jesus Christ that we thrive. But Jesus is not just addressing these people isolated. He's not pulling one of them aside and saying, hey, remain in me. He together corporately gathers them and says, you all remain together in me. So that as much as our success, our thriving in life comes in our connection to Christ, it also comes in our connection to one another. That you have been created for community. I think of my own journey. And as much as my transformation has come through my own personal relationship with Jesus, equally so, it has come from the people of God speaking into my world, walking with me, having patience for me, having grace with me, and allowing Christ to form in me. And it is only in that connection that I have thrived. I think of the first Connect groups I joined. I was serving with Pastor Josh. Josh was leading us in our Sunday morning youth team, and I signed up to Andrew Bennett's Connect Group. He's now our worship pastor at San Diego. And he pulled a lot of Christ in me and out of me, fixed a lot up, talked to me, had time with me, was incredibly patient with me. And then I was a part of Christian McCudden's Connect Group, and he took me further along the journey. And then I've had other connections and relationships in church and friendships and everything that has pulled Christ out of me, has formed Jesus Christ and corrected areas and encouraged areas. We need one another. We're not meant to do this alone. Ephesians 4, Paul says this, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is equip you, God's people, to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children, We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. The world is looking for a church that is functional, that actually reflects God, that actually can stand for a truth, but do it in love, so that we stand and seem immovable and in some ways difficult in that sense, because sometimes the world has issues with the church because of our strength and stance, but then they will encounter our love and they'll go, I don't know if I agree with them, but man, I like to hang out with them. There is something about them. They're immovable in their strength. But if we are a church that is washed and driven by every new teaching, every new doctrine, but what he's really saying is that the only way that that will take shape is if you remain together and together are growing up in Christ. He goes on. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's how we grow the church. That's how we reach a community, is that we just keep growing in maturity in Christ, in love for Christ and one another. And as the whole body does that, we grow. Our growth and health occurs in connection within community. God is all about community. We have a God whose essence is community. Stanley Gren says that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are the social trinity. That's huge. Because in the very way that God has revealed himself to us is community, then maybe that says something how important community is to God. If in his very nature he is community, then he reveals something to us about purpose. He goes on to say, therefore, community is not merely an aspect of human life, for it lies within the divine essence. God, in his essence, reveals his purpose for us. That the Holy Spirit does not empower me to be more independent. We have a world that loves to be autonomous and to be independent. And that's okay for you to have your own thoughts and feelings and be a separate person. We're not asking everyone to look and be exactly the same. But when Jesus comes into your life, he doesn't make you empowered to be more independent. The Holy Spirit is here to enable us to be more surrendered. He enables us to surrender our lives more to Christ, to follow God's way, but also to surrender our lives to one another. Ephesians 2:22 says, in him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. His plan, his purpose is community. The Greek word kinonia, where we get the word fellowship, it means that, but it means a lot more than that. It means community. It means communion, which we took before, which is, again, connecting us back to the whole story of Christ and what it means in our lives for where it's been from to where it is now and where it's going. And that communion happens within our fellowship. But it also means partnering and participation. God's purpose for this world is outworked through the partnering and participation of his community. And so as we give ourselves to love, to one another, we become his body, the living example of Christ to this world. You see, the way that we reflect Christ to the world is the way that we love one another. Because we give evidence of the love of God in the way that the transforming love transforms us to love one another. In the way that we forgive one another. In the way that we accept one another. In the way that we embrace each other. In the way we live sacrificially to one another. All of this becomes a living example of Christ. Christ incarnate. Christ with us. Yes, thank you. God is good. Christ with us. He's in heaven, seated on the right hand of the Father. He's left the Holy Spirit. And so now Christ is revealed, incarnate, to the world through his body, us. We're it. That's a lot of trust. Anyone feel a bit more nervous? But it's good because we're together. We can't do it isolated. We're always going to get it wrong. But together we can work it with each other and work it out. And by the power of the Spirit, we can reflect God to this world. We cannot reflect Christ in isolation, nor can we grow in Christ in isolation. So we come and we're a part of this body. We're part of the universal church, but localized in the local church for us, C3 Church, to contextualize the gospel to this community. But then this isn't going to do, because there's so many of us. I meet people all the time. I'm like, how long have you been coming here? Oh, 30 years. We've met for the first time. If we really want to get down nitty gritty and form Christ in one another, we have to do it in smaller groups. This was the concept that Jesus had of discipleship, of a small group of believers encouraging one another, part of a bigger purpose, but connected uniquely to one another. And for us, we call that connect group. And sometimes you'll hear that word and go, oh, it sounds too structured for me. It sounds not organic. No, it's purposed. And it's the way we do it. It's not the only way, but that's how we do it. We do it through connect group. And connect group is so important because this is what you're going to have. In connect groups, we have relationship. I know, very brilliant. Of course you do. But this is so important. Ecclesiastes 4 says, this is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can, but then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is also meaningless and depressing. I'm glad I came to encourage you. But two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Loneliness is so destructive. And you can be coming to church and being part of the bigger body, and you come and you lift your hands and you feel a connection with God, but you're lonely. So you leave straight away. You leave once the song's done, you're out. And then you come back and then you're out. And then you come back and you're out. And you kind of start to then question what this whole faith thing is, because you know you're connected to God, but there's no other connection. And all of a sudden it begins to erode the confidence of God in your life. It begins to erode the faith that God has put in your life. You are not meant to do this alone, and loneliness is destructive. Peter Schmeigel, which is an amazing name, he's the CEO of Lifeline. He says, while we're prescribing more medication for mental health than ever before, including a doubling in the rate of antidepressants used since 2000, we are not doing enough to combat the social effects factors that lead so many to choose death over living. After all, there's no magic pill for loneliness, social isolation, relationship breakdowns, and other personal crises. Loneliness is destructive. And so if you're lonely, we want you to get connected in a connect group. We're not asking you and bending your arm. We don't want to do that. We just want you to say, I need help and I need to be connected. We have relationship. We have encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. You know, when we took on this role a few months ago, it was reasonably daunting. It still is. And I like to think I know where we're heading and where God is taking us, but honestly, sometimes I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Not just to instill a bit of trust in you as the congregation. But you know what? I'm not so worried about that. I'm not so worried about what's next. Because I know the presence of God around me. I feel an encouragement from God, a hand of God that comes on my shoulder every time I'm up here, every time I'm talking to one of you. I know that God has called us, but, as vital as that connection to Christ, that connection to the anointing, that connection to the knowledge of God's purpose and calling in my life, equally so has been the conversations I have every single week with someone generally older than me, which is even more encouraging, outside there saying, hey, we trust you, we're behind you, and we believe in you. We need to encourage one another, to put courage in each other. And some of you are so concerned and confused and unsure about what you're doing, and you're isolated and it's dangerous. And we want to help you get connected so that you can be in a thriving community that is not only telling you all the good things God's doing with you, but is standing with you, doing a journey with you, encouraging you all the way through. Encouragement. We have love and care. Bear one another burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus said, this commandment, I give you a new commandment, that you would love one another. You know what? People slip through the gaps in our church. They do. And sometimes when you talk to them otherwise, afterwards, they say things like, I don't even know if the church loves me. Don't feel like the church loved me. And I just want to say, if that's ever been an experience for you, I want to apologize for that. We try to do this the best we can and we love everyone ever. But my concern is sometimes that happens because we have tried to systemize love and care. And so we've got a number of pastors, but we're only a few. And we're not going to get to all of you. We're not going to be able to meet with you all the time. And we systemize love and care through this pastoral structure and system. But love and care happens in a community. It happens through people. And if you're part of a small group, a connect group, all of a sudden you're in a community of love and care so that you can say, yes, the church loves and cares for me because my connect group loves and cares for me. That's how we should be doing this. And if you're not feeling loved or cared for, maybe you're isolated. Maybe you're disconnected. Maybe you're in a connect group that you feel like that's an issue. Well, then talk to them. Talk this out afterwards and fix it and make it work. We have openness and prayer. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power at its working. You know, confession is crucial. And as much as James is talking about confessing our sins, the areas in our lives that we have gone against God's word, and whether that be unintentionally, deliberately, and we talk about that, yes. But what he's really talking about, that word confession in the Greek is the same word, of course, that we use when they talk about confessing Christ. And that what that means is we acknowledge. What we do is we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior when we confess Christ. We acknowledge Him, that He's greater than us. We acknowledge Him. So in the same way when we confess our sin, what we're really doing is we acknowledge finally our weaknesses. Have you ever been in a situation where you're so afraid of someone working out you don't have it all together? Because we live in a world where I go on Instagram and everyone has perfect lives with perfect marriages and perfect children and perfect holidays and even perfect pets, and it's sickening because they all got it together. But I got news for you. None of us have it all together. And it is a great relief when you can get amongst a few people you can trust and suddenly say, I need to acknowledge something. I need to let you know something. I don't have it all together. Can you help? Openness is the way to healing. God says, I will resist the proud, but I'll give grace to the humble. I'll give grace to people that are willing to say, I don't have it all together today and I need help. And then what we don't do is we sit down and go, well, I need help too. Guess we're all screwed. No, we stop. Sorry. We stop. We might need to take that off the live video before Pastor Phil sees it. We stop. And we pray for one another. We begin to confess God's word over our life through prayer. We actively engage in a belief and faith that God is transforming us, that we're not going to stay stuck, that actually God's going to work through us. And then you can be healed. You can be healed spiritually, emotionally, physically. God is alive. Pastor Rich, Kate, Forsyth have a phenomenal healing service. They've got one straight after this service. But you can pray for one another for healing. When we first started Connect Group, we'd have these kids in. There was the Wells boys, and they just had a knack of just injuring themselves. They were very talented at it. And I remember one time he came in and he had a broken leg and his cast was down on this side, and we prayed for it, healed. And we said, when you leave, stay on the crutches, but put pressure on the leg that was broken just to freak your mum out. And so, of course, he gets out there and she's kind of just, what's happening? But totally healed. God cares about you. He cares about your physical health. And we don't know how that always works out and why, but listen, go to faith. Pray for one another. Lift one another up. It's powerful. We have wisdom and accountability. Proverbs 18 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desires. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Man, poor decisions occur in isolation. Poor theology occurs in isolation. We're in a real dangerous time where you can listen to any other podcast you want that has no connection back to community. They have no opportunity to actually sit down and out that work, that practice or theology in your own personal life. They don't actually have the opportunity to sit down and pastorally work it out. So what we do is we keep looking until something we can find that kind of lines up with our way of living. And then we say, oh, God spoke to me about that. But I would disagree, because God never speaks to us in isolation. It is only in community that theology is worked out, that we can wrestle and try and work this out. And the issue is we have such an autonomous society right now that we're connected but not willing to listen to each other. But if we would surrender our lives and say, maybe I don't know this, maybe I don't have this worked out, and we can do that together and work it out together, you'll find wisdom, you'll find help, you'll find breakthrough. And you'll find you'll be able to discover God and work out Christ in your life in a way that He intended. He always intended it through community. So what stops that? What stops? Why do we resist connection at times? I ask this of myself because I think I'm a bit of a closet introvert. I know I seem quite extroverted when I'm up here and I do. I get energized by people. I get energized by helping people. And this is my gift and the way I can help you. Sure, I get energy by it. But I do like hiding. I do. I like my cave time. I'd much prefer sometimes to not talk to people. Particularly after talking to people all day, I just want to go home and hide. But I started to ask myself, what stops me? And generally it's pride. It's selfishness. And it's apathy. It's me thinking, no, I don't need to talk to someone. I can work this out. Or it's me going, I don't want to. I don't want to hang out with anyone else. I want me time. It's about me now, Jesus. Or it's apathy. It's just like, I forget about it. There's a great scripture as we come to a close. I'll get the band to come up. Philippians 2, it says, So if our shared life in the King brings you any comfort, if love still has the power to make you cheerful, if we really do have a partnership in the Spirit, if your hearts are at all moved with affection and sympathy, then make my joy complete. Bring your thinking into line with one another. Here's how to do it. Hold on to the same love. Bring your innermost lives into harmony. Fix your minds on the same objects. Never act out of selfish ambition or vanity. Instead, regard everybody else as your superior. Look after each other's best interests, not your own. We create thriving relationships that form Christ in us when we are humble. We realize we can't do this alone. And maybe you've been doing this alone for too long. And you've been coming to church and you've got a few connections, but then you leave. Maybe it's time to say, you know what? I need to humble myself here. I need to say I need help. And I'm going to go and talk to someone about that today. We need selflessness. We need to be selfless. Maybe you're in a group of friends. You come to church every week. You know where you need to sit. You know what's going on. And you're like, I'm good. What are you talking to me for? But it's not about us. Because there's other people that don't know how to do it, who are waiting for you. So maybe you can take that group of friends, get intentional about it, and turn it into a connect group, and all of a sudden it becomes inclusive. All of a sudden it becomes something that someone else can engage in. And we can help people on a journey of community. And finally, we need to be intentional. You work on relationships. We have such a resistance at times at things that don't look authentic or organic. I would say that if we can be intentional about relationships, really intentional, because no other relationship, I'm never unintentional about relationships that I want to work. I don't just hope that our relationship will be organic with my wife. I work on it. We talk to each other. We work on that. And the way that we do this through Connect Group is by intentionalizing this so that we can create something that can become more organic, more real over time as you learn to develop a love and trust for one another. But we have to start somewhere. We need connection in. We need to be connected to one another. We need to be connected to Christ, and we need to be connected to one another. I wonder today, if you're not in a Connect Group, maybe you need to be. We're not going to force you to. We're good. You want to keep coming here and just hang out? That's totally fine. We're cool. But I think we can do it better. I think we can do it better. And we do it better together. Amen? Amen.
Hey, everyone. What a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.